All right, I think we're going to get started. So thank you, everybody, for coming out and sticking around for our lunchtime session here. We're going to do a little bit of a deep dive here with the NuGet team. My name is Jeff Fritz. I'm the PM for NuGet. My colleague Yishai Galatzer here, he's the head of engineering for NuGet. We want to go through and show you a couple things about where we are, where we're going with NuGet, and get your feedback. Unlike most of the sessions here at Summit, everything that you're going to see here is not NDA. We are open source. We are very transparent with the things we're doing. There's one or two things that we are going to call out as NDA for right now.
And actually, one small thing. I've seen a bunch of familiar faces. We gave... Oh, my God. I see a bunch of familiar faces. We gave this talk yesterday in the C-sharp and VB venues. It's exactly the same talk. If you heard it, and you don't want to listen to us again, free to leave, but it's a cool show, so up to you.
It's a great show. All right. Quick agenda setting. We want to talk about what the current state of NuGet is. We want to talk about some of the feedback that we've heard. Talk about some of the common fixes that we've had to recommend to people and make sure you're aware of them so that you can implement them when you need that help. Lots of demos. We've got a couple of really good demos here that I think you guys will be interested in. And then we want to talk about looking ahead. What are the things that we're going to be doing? And I want to give you information about how you can contribute and help us on the NuGet team. And then, of course, we'll have some Q&A time at the end. Current state of NuGet. So, NuGet.org. In the year since our last MVP summit, we made huge improvements in uptime and responsivity, right? We've got much better uptime. It's faster, right? We've integrated a content delivery network so that you can get packages from those edge servers that are closer to you. Our friends in the Far East, in Australia, should be seeing much better response times. We introduced a new protocol. We'll talk about that in a slide or two here. And we moved our statistics around. We changed how we process things, particularly because we have that CDN in play, right? We can't rely on everything coming from one server now. We need to process those CDN logs so we can give you accurate information about what's being downloaded from those edge servers.
Can you hear me now? No?
Can you hear him all right?
No? Okay, so how many of you had problems with NuGet.org resolving packages searching in the last year? Yeah, I kind of expected everyone to raise their hands. How many of you have problems in the last month or two? Good, that's what we want to see. So we kind of identified a lot of issues in the NuGet.org server, in the implementation details, in the deployment details, in the code. And pretty much last 6 months, all what the guys working on the server did was work on improvement and reliability. And we're happy to see that you don't see pain anymore. It remains our top concern. Just to give you some numbers, let me quickly jump two slides. So last year, August 2014, we had 11 million downloads a month. This last 2 months, we are at 38 million downloads a month. That, even with the existing protocol that was based on a SQL database, that was kind of topped out. We spent a lot of time optimizing the code. We spent a lot of time optimizing the process. One of the main things we found was that we kept writing every download into the database, and that kept churning the database. The ratio in NuGet is about 1,000 to 1. So you upload a package or edit a package one time to every 1,000 downloads of a package. But before that, every time that happened, we went and touched the database. And we're talking here a few thousand times a second.
Yeah.
Which necessitated a much bigger database than we could have, and so on. We removed that. We moved all the data to CDN, and we processed download counts from reading the CDN logs, which means if you're a package owner, you have to kind of wait now about 8 hours to see stuff popping up, but we don't think it's a big deal, and we think you'd much prefer having better performance on the server. So kind of on average, our response time used to be around, on a good day, 500 milliseconds. On bad days, you know, with high load, 700-800 milliseconds. Our average response time today is around 70 milliseconds.
So we actually had people at one point in the last year saying, you know, hey, I did a download of my new package that I uploaded. I didn't see the download count increment by 1 for my download. It's like, is that Is that really something that you expect?
So it's something, I mean, it's something nice if you could have, you know, if it worked with the current architecture, would have kept it, but we figured it's not such a big deal. We think you'd much prefer having better performance, better responsivity than download cuts. Is anybody here disagrees with this kind of path?
That trade-off? Nope, okay, no. Don't see any hands.
So the other thing we added is we added a status page. So if you go to nougat.org and you want to see what's going on, we have a new status page. It will show you the top four services that we're running. So search, the website itself, and the services that comprise package restore. If any of these is, you know, not green, there's something going on. The other thing that we know people really care about is the time for deploying a package. So how many people here author packages? Cool, quite a few. How many of you like the speed from the time you push a package until it's available? Or how many actually dislike it?
Yeah, how many aren't thrilled with how long it takes to appear on NuGet.org?
Okay, so
about half of them.
So if you actually look at the numbers today, one, we can show the numbers. You can see exactly what's going on. So this is the index lag. And on average, it's a few minutes. It can go up to 10 minutes, sometimes 15, 20 minutes. It's kind of a limitation of the current implementation. We don't like it, and I'll talk a little bit later about what we plan to do about it. But at least now you have visibility. When you upload a package, you go to the package page. It's going to tell you that the package is not yet indexed. And in general, you can see how many packages have been uploaded and what's your lag to get your package available for everybody else. One other thing we did is we moved all our distribution to a common distribution page. It used to be on CodePlex. So you'd go to nougat.org, and you'll have to know about our CodePlex site to go and get stuff. And to me, that didn't make any sense. So we created this it's actually pretty small. It's a kind of a little spa where you can get all the latest downloads. So you can see nougat.exe here. You can see Visual Studio 2015 here. You can see 2013, and you'll get pre-releases and RTM releases right here. This is where you should go and get your direct download for NuGet.exe from today and on. We on purpose did not push a new NuGet command line package because in 3.0, we didn't get, in my mind, enough to parity. And we didn't want people to start updating automatically to the new NuGet.exe and breaking their builds. We think now in the 3.3 release coming up in 2 weeks or so, we will be stable enough, and the differential will be small enough to be considered not breaking changes. And at that point, we'll push the NuGet command line package to nougat.org, and CI machines will start getting revved automatically if you have it set up to the latest NuGet.exe, so something to keep in mind. So quick question here. How many people here update to NuGet 3.2?
That's not enough.
Not enough. How many
That's
people update to 3.2.1 RC? That's available here on the disk.
One.
Okay, one, two, and okay.
You can call the odd fix that you provided on GitHub.
Yeah.
Yes. So unfortunately at this moment in Visual Studio, it's not very clear how to update NuGet. But if you look at our GitHub site, we are going back through a lot of issues and just fixing continuously bugs. We fix 100, 200 bugs every release. Please regularly update your NuGet extension in Visual Studio. And we're working with the Visual Studio team to make it more automatic and more kind of in your face to force the update.
A little bit more accessible.
Yeah. Okay, so a little bit about the V3 protocol. So we added a new V3 protocol. The way you can tell them apart, it has a .json at the end of the URL. The idea of this protocol now with web people in the room, the idea is you get a JSON file that has all our endpoints in it, which means we can keep adding endpoints and new protocols as we publish new clients while keeping the old clients working. It's a JSON LD-based approach. The idea is that most of the work right now happens directly in storage. So we have a back-end job that just puts indexes, packages, list of versions, all that stuff in storage. We put a CDN on top of it. And then most of what the client does, other than human search, goes to the storage. which means we can be a lot more confident about our uptime. Once you wrote the storage, the CDN picked it up, that's it. There's no ASP.NET involved in this process at all.
No servers.
Yeah. So we think the reliability will be, with this, a lot higher. We realized, by the way, I got feedback from a lot of people. I completely agree with them. The protocol is still too chatty. The blobs contain too much information that's not entirely necessary for downloading, restoring packages. It's on our list of one of the main things we want to go and improve and make your search experience, restore experience, install experience a lot faster. So I talked briefly about NuGet XE. We updated it to work with a V3 protocol. We updated to work with Project JSON. We introduced actually a similar, so everybody here, I guess, is familiar with ASP.NET 5. In other project types, with CSproj, VBproj, we introduced Project.json to work with Core CLR. And NuGet.exe now supports that scenario as well. We also did some work to improve the mono scenario. The mono scenario is not complete. It's unfortunately a little bit lower on our priority of things to do. Our main priority is to make NuGet.exe work on Core CLR. Last and very relevant for this group of people, DNU was basically a fork of NuGet.exe in a way, some of the things he did. We think it was the appropriate thing for the time. It enabled the ASP.NET team to run faster, to innovate, to make changes without worrying about breaking changes. NuGet is an RTM product. And if you've seen DNU, and DNU kept evolving and changing and improving. If DNU did it inside NuGet, we would be in a lot of trouble with existing users. And we're now at a good time where DNU is kind of stable, and we're going to start merging the two. And we expect DNU to disappear, and NuGet.exe be the tool that replaces it. So it will run on Windows. It will run on environments where you don't have .NET on Windows. It will run on Linux. It will run on Mac. And we're in the process now of setting up CIs and setting up tests so we can guarantee reliably the same way we guarantee NuGet running on Windows, we guarantee Windows NuGet running on Linux and Mac. Any questions?
Cool. So who likes the user interface in Visual Studio 2015? Who doesn't like it? OK. That's kind of what we expected.
So what don't you like about it? Somebody want to say something? Maybe?
It's confusing whether you're installing or upgrading.
So the feedback is it's confusing whether you're installing or upgrading.
So I think you're talking about this area here.
Yeah.
And I heard people talk about this area here too as well, the filter. That's been confusing. Any other feedback? Anything else that you dislike about it?
Come on.
It's
yep.
Okay. So the feedback is you had to do an upgrade to do an uninstall is what it looked like you had to do.
Okay.
Might have been with the UI, but maybe more of a bug. I found that the NuGet.config that you have in your solution, if you edit it, it does not reflect in this window, even if you close and reopen it.
Yep.
So the...
When your tools, package explorer, and then it populates everything.
So the feedback is when you edited NuGet.config in your solution, it didn't reflect here automatically.
Yep.
Let's get one more.
Fair enough.
So that feedback wasn't clear which project you were adding packages to.
So a little bit of history before we show you what we did to address. We addressed most of this feedback. Some of it is
in
known
process.
Issues that we're going to keep fixing. So about the time when we had to make this, we published this UI the first time in, I believe, in RC or in CTP 6. We got pretty negative feedback right away. But we also got, it was pretty clear we have a lot of issues to work through. Hangs, crashes, bad installs, corrupted data. We had a kind of heart-to-heart and decided that we understand the UI is not pretty, but we want to take the time and sit down and really redesign it in a way that will give you the next iteration, you'll say, we love it. We didn't want to come with, oh, we patched it up a little bit, and here's something for you to kind of appease you. because we didn't think it's going to go over well. We also wanted to spend the time on actually fixing the basics. You know, run, don't hang, don't crash. Do the right thing when I ask you to do the right thing. So with this, we'd like to switch over and show you the new UI.
Yeah, let's take a look at the new UI. Come on, nothing's better than something. All right, so let me go in and let's manage my NuGet packages for this project. I've got two projects in one solution. Let me go over to browse.
So before we get started, so one thing I heard from many people in the other team, other rooms, they said, look, this loading thing is revolving and it takes a long time to get the first set of packages and I'm just sitting there and doing nothing. This is just, you can just type as this thing is loading, and it will just go and do the cancel the old search and do the new search. It's not a blocking UI anymore. It's just there, and you can just keep it, you know, keep interacting with it.
Actually, I'm in the wrong feed there. There we go. That's where I want to be. So now, right now they come up, and you can see I've got a lot more information now in that left side, right? We've broken up what was a drop-down box to handle what type of view you were looking at. We turned it into three tabs across the top. It seemed a lot more intuitive, right? Browse, installed, and updates. We're going to give you some information. We're going to put the search right there so it's clear that these are related, right? You're browsing. Let's search within the stuff that you're browsing. Control whether you're searching against pre-release right next to it. And then we're going to start showing you information about the packages and more information that we know is that first at a glance things that you want to know to make a decision about what package you want to install, right? So we put the author name right next to the package. We put the download count right next to it. And we put it as an estimate, right? 9.24 million. Do you really care about the significant digits past that third or fourth number? Not really. And we're going to put the latest version number over here to the right. So the current version is 5.2.3, and when I mouse over each one of these, I get action buttons that start to appear on the right side. So I can jump in and I can very quickly do an uninstall or install action on these packages. Okay? I'm not even looking at the details of it. I can do most of my interactions, my typical NuGet management actions over here in the list. And we've added icons, badges on top of the package icons so that you can see very quickly at a glance, I have the latest version because I've got a green check on it, right? Or maybe there's one up here, I have an update available for Newtonsoft JSON because I have the arrow badge on it, okay? And there's a pre-release version available. So I can quickly jump and do an update to that latest version if I want it, or I can uninstall, right? So we've tried to make this one-stop shopping on the left side. Right? But we haven't taken away those capabilities on the right side. So on the right side, we're going to make the uninstall, install button always appear for you. Right? If you're over here, there is no question about whether you're installing or upgrading or any of that. You don't have this package installed right now. So install is the only action you can take. There is no choose what type of action and then click this button to do that. Okay? So uninstall and update are right next to each other, right? There is no, as the one gentleman here said, there is no, well, I need to update in order to uninstall. We've taken away some of that confusion, we believe, with this change. And you can still choose from any of the package versions that are available and update to that version. So we left that power there for you. And we know that there were options that you would have to choose between whether you were installing or updating or uninstalling. And when you would change your action type, those options would change in front of you. And it was kind of misleading and confusing that all of a sudden the UI would hide things and make it appear. So we have it all appearing at once here. And we know that this takes up a lot of space. So we're going to give you the option. By default, it's actually collapsed, right? You can come in here and open it up, do your work, close it out so that it gets out of your way, and then you can continue looking at details of those packages that you want to work with.
So one important thing here, we keep in mind that this is kind of an agile development style process. We did as much as we can towards update one release. We actually have our final build today, and we stop. We want to do more. Example, the options, we still think that takes space here. That's unnecessary. And we're trying to figure out what is the best design, where to put it. Should we put it inside the settings dialog itself? Should we move it to the bottom and collapse it even more so it takes less space, but it's still around for you to get the right stuff? It's not a lot of work. Like, you know, the dev working on this can probably whip it out in 30 minutes. It's the get the right design, get the right experience, get the right stuff, and then we want to put it in. So we did a pretty quick and dirty kind of thing here by letting it be collapsed, get it out of your way. And we plan, you know, in the next release to do better. So expect more changes here. Please give us feedback. Start playing with it. You don't like it. We're listening, and we'll keep, you know, of course, prioritizing it, and then keep making changes.
Well, let's just take a quick poll. Who likes the options here on the right side in the middle and wants to leave it there, and they're concerned about moving your cheese? Not many. Okay, if any. And then what if we moved it into settings so that it wasn't here at all and you had to go into settings to change how packages were installed? Who likes it over in the settings? Who's still eating lunch and half asleep? Because I'm seeing no responses at all. Most of everybody. Okay. We'll talk to you guys later at the hackathon.
Cool.
All right. So that's kind of the nickel tour around there.
These are default. So these are common options for all the operations you're doing.
For your project or for your...
So right now, it's a great question. So right now, these are the default options for working inside Visual Studio. One of the things we heard and we plan to do is make these options, you know, global and per project. So you can say, I want in this project, that's how I want to work and persist it. But also have, here's my global options, that's how I always work. There's a big item not showing up in this UI, but can you click on the settings?
Sure, let's go over there real quick. And then we got someone in the back.
So one of the things about the setting dialog is the setting dialog is kind of ancient. It was written in the day when you had one NuGet config. Nobody put NuGet config in their solution. ASP.NET made a choice to put it in your solution or any solution level to make it clear that you need to control your package sources. We agree with this idea. The problem is that the setting dialog doesn't really know about that fact, and it tries to do it best to write it in the closest place, and it gets you in trouble. So once you start editing NuGet config by hand, keep doing it. Our plan in the next release or two is to rewrite this code such as hierarchical. It will go and you can choose kind of how you do git config. You can choose which section you want to apply it to and so on. It's one of these things that take a lot of UI thought, a lot of how do we make it that it, so it's clear, and when you do it, you do the right thing. I mean, you had the same comment about installing to the wrong project. We want to take our time and do it right. So one of the thoughts is to put these things into something like a NuGet config. We're not making any commitment to be in NuGet config proper or outside of NuGet config.
To come back to your question, basically, if I'm going to be changing the option here,
yeah.
I'm expecting it to be for the current package, for the current operation I'm doing until I close the window. That's for me.
Yes.
I'm expecting to be global to my machine.
Right.
And if I put it in NuGet config in my solution, I'm expecting it to be for my project.
Right.
Right. And so we want to give you a visual way to control that.
So the answer right now, what it is now, is this is global. This is not for this package. If you kept it open, you can see it, and it will be the same as you switch between packages.
Then this is computer.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I don't disagree
with
you.
That's why it's on the next list.
Yes.
So there was another piece of feedback in the back. Steve?
Two quick things. One is, if you do move the global config into settings, can you put a link in here that jumps you there?
Yes. Correct.
That's fair.
So the other option, by the way, is to take this guy and put it here on the bottom.
Take the options.
And you click here for setting, and then you kind of inline experience. You don't have to jump to another window and come back. But correct.
Right. That's our concern.
And then the other pain point I have is I often have the packages installed in multiple projects. They aren't always necessarily the same one.
We'll get to that.
Navigate to every project to see which version there. So here, you have this version. Oh, by the way, you've also got these other projects.
This is an awesome question. And if you can hold on to it for five more minutes, I think we're going to share something.
We'll get there.
Actually, one more thing while we're in settings. Can you click on that again?
Yeah, let's go back into settings.
So we added one feature, and I don't know how many people care about it. So this guy. We heard from a few people, particularly when we moved to NuGet 3, you know, stuff starts surfacing, that they don't like the fact that we add binding redirects for them. They know what they're doing. They have their own web config managed somewhere else, and NuGet keeps going into their web config, and they don't like the formatting, or they don't like what we put in there because there's other packages coming from other places, and they want to control it. So we added a feature that says skip applying binding redirects, which means when you install a NuGet package, we let you take over, or we let Visual Studio take over and do whatever you want with binding redirects.
It's an advanced feature.
It also solves scenarios like...
Hey, applause. Cool. All right.
It solves a problem when we've seen a lot of people that had just bad app configs. They don't never use them, but they just had these bad files in there, and they don't understand why they can't install packages. And for us, it's a nightmare, because I get a bug that says, I'm trying to install package A, and I get a rollback. It didn't work, and it's somewhere hidden in the log that we failed binding redirect. The user really doesn't care about it. He can figure it out later, but his whole update process just failed. He just spent 10 minutes, 30 minutes trying to update packages, and everything fell apart for this obscure reason. So A, we made this change, but the other thing we did is if binding redirect application fails, and it's going to be rare, we're just going to call it a warning and move on. We're going to write in the log and move on. If you really, really care about it, there's a NuGet config setting that lets you turn it on. We documented it. We're not putting it in the UI for now because we think too many options are going to lead to confusion. Any thoughts, any thumbs up or thumbs down for this? Cool.
Okay.
Which one? Skip binding redirect?
Yes.
Click it once, it'll be on by default. I understand. We don't want to break. So we do hear other feedback from users saying we like binding redirects. It does the right thing for us. We don't understand. We're like simple developers. We don't understand this web config thing where we have to go in and mess with stuff. I'm a mobile app developer. I don't understand app config at all. I don't want to deal with it. So we can't change them because that would be a huge breaking change.
Down here?
I think it's related, but sometimes I'll add a NuGet package to a class library, and then it'll add a config file there, like an app config.
Yep.
There wasn't one before, and I don't know what it means.
So, yeah, let's repeat that and make sure everybody hears. The question was, I've got a class library that I started, and I added a NuGet package to that class library, and it creates an app config for me.
So this will resolve the same problem. It's the same problem. We added app config to add binding redirects that you don't care about. Check it off. You know what you're doing.
Any way that we can get that setting to be default, basically, don't add a new file for me. I like adding binding redirects on the fly, but I don't want it to add it if there's not a config file in my project. So basically, if I add a NuGet package to a class library that doesn't have an app config file, can I get it to add it when there is one and not add it when there isn't one?
I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
I'll be very honest. If we put it on the list, it will drop to item 423 or so.
But we take pull requests.
But we take pull requests. It's not hard. It's seriously not hard to do these kind of things. It's a matter of when you write code in NuGet, you have to write the code, you have to write the test, you have to verify it, you have to see if we didn't break anybody else. It turns out to be, you know, a day or two of work by the time you're done. If you think it's important, first, file an issue. I'm not saying, even if the item is 423, it does not mean we don't get to it. You can see our resolve rate. It's pretty decent.
Yeah, we'll show that.
And we would love to take a pull request. I would probably not be OK with putting this in the UI, but making a NuGet config if you want that tight control, I think that's fine.
We'll talk about it. We'll work it out on a discussion.
Yep.
All right, so let's go through. Let's finish showing some of the actions here. So we've got the updates tab now. We put a badge next to it. That was a suggestion from an MVP. I want to be able to see how many updates there are before having to actually click that tab and see the updates for my project.
And by the way, do you see that it's loading now? It's wasting time? We noticed it too. We'll fix it.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, again, matter of timeline. We got to the point last week we actually had most of it coded, and we made the call not to take the risk. We'll take it in the next release.
We're getting killed by the
Can
network.
We go to solution now?
So let's take a look at solution level. Let's touch on this thing real quick while this loaded up. Top thing that we heard was that I couldn't select all of my packages and say update and get all of my packages updated. I'm hearing clapping over here. And then the flip side of that was I want to be able to only update some of my packages and be able to update. So you can check and uncheck as many as you want, or of course, hit check all. So that was a big thing. That's now back in the user interface.
Well, that's not back in, that's new. That's a new feature. NuGet never had this feature.
No, not the multi-check.
Update all or update nothing.
Yeah.
And we think that'll be a major time saver, because if you have 30 packages and you want to update 15 of them, you have to go one by one by one by one. And when you're done, you might have to go do it again because of how the dependencies work. In this case, what we do is you pick the 15 that you want to do, and we look at them holistically, when we resolve what it's going to be when we're done, and then do one update operation.
Yeah. Over here.
Yep. I love the badge that says how many updates I have.
Yeah.
But I still have to open up the NuGet console to see that. Can you surface that on my project?
That's actually a good idea. So one thing we're going to do in one of the next releases, I mean, have you seen the, everybody here seen the ASP.NET 5 awesome tooling for NuGet, right? I love them. They were developed by the ASP.NET team for ASP.NET 5 projects only.
Yeah.
We think that's great, but we think that everybody should be able to enjoy it, even if you work on MVC 5 or if you work on a UAP app or you work on something else. So one of our next goals, is probably going to be Dev 15, would be to merge all this tooling into one place, and then you can see all the things you're talking about in one place. But I'd like, if you could, go into NuGet repo on GitHub, file an issue. So then it's there, it's registered, we never forget about it, and
we can track it. So let's take a look at managing packages on the solution. So we've changed some things in the user interface here. So let me come back to browse. So now you can see we've changed the display over here so that you've got, right, you've got all this information about the projects in the solution laid out, nice table. I can do a multi-select and perform one action across all of the projects with this one package. I can see all the versions that are being used. I can sort so that if there are cases where I have multiple versions of a package installed in various projects, I can see those. The install button here really is more of an upsert. So, right, if I have all of my projects selected, like in this case, and I say install, it's going to do an update on those that already have it installed but need to be updated. But it will do the full install on those that don't have the package installed. All right, so that's nice. The big thing that we added here was we put this consolidate tab, because we know that people don't like to have multiple versions of the same package running around in their solution. So we're surfacing very clearly here that you have two packages in your solution that have different versions in different projects. So in this case, I've got two different versions of Newtonsoft JSON inside of my two projects. Well, that's kind of a pain. I can very quickly here say, install this version, right? Or I can go and say, you know what, uninstall everything from here. So you have a lot of flexibility here, and you can actually go after just those specific ones and say, well, install this version on this project. So you can quickly install the package into multiple projects from this UI.
So quick future thoughts. So again, this is kind of a point in time thing. What we want to do here is we want this to be a tree. WPF, unfortunately, doesn't have a nice tree. You can buy one from Telerik, but we're open source, so that doesn't really work. We have to kind of find one that we can use. But the idea is, for example, you have test project, you have samples, you have source, you have subfolders of projects, and you want to just update them. Maybe your samples is something you don't want to work on. So the idea is we're going to have a tree here that reflects this tree while still letting you sort and letting you organize it any way you want, do your multi-select, and do the action all in one go. The other thing is this table right now is going to expand to the number of projects you have. And you're going to get a scroll on the right. So somebody asked yesterday, are you going to have just two items on the list? No, it's going to grow.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't do yet, is the ability to kind of resize just this section. And the plan is for this line to be draggable. So you can still see the stuff on the bottom, and you control the size of how many projects you see at the same time. So what do people think? Consolidate. Was that a good idea, bad idea?
Yes. Okay, positive response. Cool.
Cool.
All right. Let's go back to slides. We were here.
For the consolidation, if you have a tree view, if you plan to visualize the different assembly versions within the tree?
Yes.
In the tree? Yeah. So that's in this tree, you have three.
So it's going to be what's called a trid or a tree grid. So it's a tree that lives inside a table, so you can have the version next to it. And then you can do a sort by the structure of the tree, a sort by the project name, or a sort by the version. And then the tree disappears when you do that.
Because if I have some samples which are not interested in updating, but in my main project I'm interested, I would like to see, this are in my main project something to consolidate.
Okay. That's actually an interesting, can we catch up after this?
Yeah.
Kind of expand on it a little bit?
So, yeah, the question was around, I want to be able to consolidate in just this set of folders, not the entire solution. So, oops. There you go.
Okay, so in, everybody here familiar with Project JSON for ASP.NET 5, right? Okay, who is familiar with Project JSON for UAP apps and PCLs? Anyone ever use that? Raise your hands.
One. Two.
Okay. So we introduced Project JSON for UAP and PCL. All the things you're familiar with in ASP.NET 5 are there. So we deprecated scripts, XML transforms, and content. Everything is in a global packages folder. You're familiar with this called .dnx, and we call it .nuget. And we're looking at a plan to move it to your local app data. We're just trying to figure out how to do it without making a big breaking change for the VS tooling. Very important to remember, packages.config projects had zero impact. They keep behaving exactly the way they did. We heard a lot of negative feedback about how dare you take install PS1. We didn't. It's there. It's working just how it did before. But it means it doesn't really work as you switch version of Visual Studio, because these scripts, many times, they take dependencies on internal implementation details, all kinds of things, and they fall apart. I can put, you know, three or four primary examples of very popular packages that just stop working. That thing is not NuGet. There's nothing NuGet can do about it. It's the package author responsibility to be responsible about his code and what he takes dependencies on. So what's good about Project JSON? Why did we take this ASP.NET thing and gave it to the rest of the world? Once we moved to core CLR, resolving the complex graphs become a really big problem. The extent of the problem is like solving a chess game, even more complicated than that. These package graphs can easily have 200-300 packages in a graph. Resolving this graph can take forever. So we switched to the algorithm that ASP.NET 5 used. We actually just stole the code and tweaked it a little bit. And if you go to docs.nuget.org, you can read exactly about how this algorithm works. Simple, picture-based graphs show you what it does and how you can get out of resolution problems. Obviously, the transitive support, you define the top-level package. Package references flow from project to project. I guess everybody's familiar with that.
Yeah, I think.
The really important thing here is NuGet now does not touch your project. So you write a project JSON file, and in return, we do not touch your CSproj file anymore. So what it means is you can go to a CI machine, rev the NuGet package, the references just get picked up at compile time, and that's it. You don't have to check in anything. Your packages update on the fly. It's pretty beautiful. My team moved to use that. We kind of dog-fooded it. So we kind of got a lot of the kinks out of the way, because otherwise we can't get a build. Roslyn team jumped on the same kind of bandwagon. and Roslyn is built this way today, and then MS Build is starting to build this way. Something to remember, this is not officially supported. The only supported scenarios officially are UAP and PCLs. However, go ahead and give it a try. Play with this, give us feedback, because eventually we want to move it more and more to other project systems. As for web, MVC5, and content, we don't have any kind of story for that yet and no decision if it's going to go to web projects or not. But for other project systems, class libraries, WinForm, WPF, these kind of things, we expect to take it there as well and officially support it. One cool feature that came out of it is the fact that now a project system implementer can go and add features to NuGet without our involvement at all. For example, Roslyn analyzers. Roslyn team wanted to add analyzers for these scenarios, and as usual, they came to us and said, let's sit down, let's have a design, why don't you go and write some code for us, and then you'll understand analyzers, and then you'll put them into a project in the right place, and we're like, stop, we don't have time for you, we have to fix all the bugs our customers are screaming about. But all we do now is download the package and write a log file, and the log file has all the content of the package. Let's just agree on a schema. And the schema was you create an analyzer folder, and you put some subdirectories in it and drop the file there, and that's it. And we step back. They wrote a document in docs.nuget.org. They wrote the code on their side, and we pretty much did nothing, except I think we need to fix pack to kind of respect that analyzer folder is a legit folder, and you could put DLLs under it. Otherwise, it start right now, it warns you. But that's the extent of the work. So it makes NuGet decoupled from the project system, and it makes the NuGet team be able to innovate a lot faster, and the project system guys to innovate a lot faster. And we stop blocking. There's a bunch of people, at least in the other rooms, that have their own project systems. And they're like, every time we do something, we have to go back to you, and we have to go and touch it up, and we have to go and change it. That's all gone. The support for this came in the UAP or Windows 10 tools. So you have to install that for now. In update one, it's going to merge, and everybody's going to get it. Last, package content. So one of the big outcries was, you guys took away content. What the hell are you doing? For that, we did two things. One thing, I don't know if Matt showed it to you. Did everybody see the Bower link from NuGet already? Yes? No? Yes?
Okay.
So in the NuGet side, we kind of implemented a feature where if you're a package manager, you can tell us that you're the one that owns this package. And for this type of project, you're going to install it. So Bower support is the first, but this can work for NPM or any other package manager. And then content. Content is split into two kind of areas. So anybody here used the Web API help page before? A few people, right? How does it work when you update it? Do you like it? No. Right, because what happened, Web API help page is kind of a scaffolded feature. We scaffolded some controllers and some views for you, and then you go and edit them and make them look like your project. And then we fix a bunch of bugs, and then you have to do a merge, right? And it's a pain in the butt. So what we decided is we're going to split the two venues. There's one part of NuGet content that is called scaffolding, and that part is going to go and change your project. The other part, which we're going to display today, is content that doesn't get added to your project, just like references don't get added to your project. So it's content we drop on disk, and the project system that goes and adds it in. And Jeff can show us some.
Yeah, I'm not getting my screen duplicate. There it goes. So now we've reintroduced content back into NuGet packages, but we've done it in a way that we think makes it a lot clearer the intent of your content that you want to deliver in your package. So inside of your package, you need to define a content files root folder. Inside of that, you specify a folder that's based on what language name you want to deliver content for. So C#, VB, or any, right? We'll go figure out based on the project type you're installing into. Here's the language that project type uses. So let me drill down into that. Now we're going to search in the next folder for your target framework. You're installing into UAP, a PCL, or any. So let's go into that folder and get content out of there for this project to be integrated with, right? And then here I've got the different files that I want to deliver as content into my project. So we've brought the .pp files back. So you can do your file transforms using standard tokens like .root namespace. And we'll inject the resultant .cs file into your project.
So I want to interrupt you for a second.
Go ahead.
When Jeff says we, he actually means there's two separate things going on. NuGet's job is we look at the target framework. We don't understand languages. We don't know what languages mean. We write to the log file for this token called CS language, which you don't know what it is, for the framework that your project is on, here's the content. For VB, here's the content. For any, here's the content. The project system now knows, understands the language and says, oh, this is a C-sharp project. Let me pick up the C-sharp section in the log file.
Yep.
So again, we're completely isolated between the two things. And you can think of, in the future, if somebody says, but I want C-sharp 6 versus C-sharp 5 feature, then you know the Roslyn team can decide if they want to support it or not. Right now, we think it's not a big deal, and we don't need to build it. But NuGet has nothing to do with this. The language is just a token for us.
Right. Here's the project log file for a project that I installed that package into. And you can see, here's the resources that I defined in my content files folder. They've just been defined as to, here, I have this thing and a build action to take with it. Those build actions come directly from my new spec file. I can specify, this is an embedded resource. Don't take any action with this. By default, we will include and compile. We'll put the compile flag on those files. And then you've got also the ability to say copy to output, flatten my folders, and any folders that you include in here will be copied into the project output. So I've already installed this package into this project, and inside of this util.cs file, I just have a couple of simple utilities to just allow me to manipulate the date and time. And I've installed it, and I can very easily now, of course, call now.yesterday, and I get that capability. Okay, great. But what I want you to see here is that my util.cs is not showing up right now inside of Solution Explorer. It's currently not showing up. And we're trying to figure out, and we want to get your feedback on this. These content pieces that we're injecting into the project that we believe are immutable, the package owner put these in here and you shouldn't really change it, right? It's a piece of the package that it's not for you to maintain. Is that something that you want to see in here or you don't want to see in here? So who wants to be able to see those content files inside their project?
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure, Steve Smith in the back with a question.
If I want to distribute it in a way that they can't mess with it, why aren't I just distributing it as an assembly?
So great question. Give you an example. Tiny IOC is a framework that says, look, I don't want you to pay the cost of even loading an extra assembly. Here are two files to embed into your project, right? Think about the scenario of using a Git. It's equivalent to using a Git submodule. You're not supposed to change a submodule. You just want to bring it in and compile it as part of your code. Think about scenarios where you want to embed another DLL, but you don't want to leak the problem with .NET where we only load one version of that DLL into the process, right? So let's say there's two individual packages, and you might use two different implementations of this thing. You don't want them to leak between your two DLLs. That's a good, very good scenario for this kind of thing. One more thing to finish here. This format also allows you to do C-sharp and VB in a single package. Up until today, if you did a package with source files, you had to ship two separate packages for the project. Now you can just ship one. You can still debug into these guys.
Yep.
You can still F12 into these guys.
I'll
we haven't yet implemented the feature that prevents you from editing them.
So I've F12'd into it. You can see the file is here on disk. It's inside of my .NuGet packages folder inside of my user profile, right where that package would be installed. And you can see it points to the CS file written to disk.
So, well, that's you look at a PP file?
Yeah, let's look at the, let me look at the other sample here. So I had included a couple of interfaces and, wrong button. When I drill down on that one, you can see it's changed the root namespace. It's done that token replacement. And this one is located, let me make sure that all fits on screen. It's located inside of my app under obj debug, right?
So it's get generated on restore time. And again, that's a feature that the project system is doing. The project system, or MS Build, understand this PP file, transforms them, put them in your object folder. They're not added to your project. They don't change your project. You don't have to recheck it in. All that mess that happens when you update content packages is gone.
OK, so it will be restored on compile.
Yes.
Building the project.
Yes.
Yep. It will be available when you compile and build the project.
Yep. That's a great idea.
I don't like the idea of hiding things, but in the same context of, you know, auto-generated files being marked as, you really shouldn't mess with this because whether you generate the file or you update the NuGet package, you don't want to stomp over your...
So the comment is, it'd be nice to be able to see them, but we'd like a watermark so that I know that it was generated, and I know if I do change it that I'm playing with fire at that point.
So that's actually great feedback.
Project sample files that get generated, never seen, and no one's complained about today. All the g.cs stuff from the XAML project gets generated, it's not in your tree. Yeah, you can F12 into it, but do you really miss it?
No, but he's saying that he wants that file to be look like .g.cs. Like,
but
here's a...
that g.cs file doesn't appear in your Solution Explorer.
Right. So let's separate two things. One is, should it appear in the solution? One debate. The other is, if I F12'd into it, if I debugged into it, should we make it clear that this file is not editable? And I think we completely agree. With you, we had a thought around controlling it in the editor, but I think your idea is even better because it will work on other editors like Sublime and Atom and all these things.
Yeah.
So that's actually going to be a Roslyn feature. We need to talk to them because they're doing this work, but it's a great idea. Thank you.
Another question over here.
I guess with the solution stuff, I would have thought that would be something to do with the package. I kind of want to be able to choose to say, I think this is one that no one should ever touch.
So let me make sure I got your comment right. Your comment is you'd like to be able to see it in the Solution Explorer, but marked in some way that it shouldn't be touched in Solution Explorer.
I want to put a pin in this. Let's keep talking about this. We're running out of time, and we have one more demo to show.
Let's go back to the slides.
Actually, I want to jump directly to the, where's the?
You want to go down to the?
The staging.
So let's jump right into it. Here, I got it.
So how many people here publish packages? We talked about how many people publish more than one package at a time? OK. How many people like the process of publishing a group of packages today?
Not much.
OK.
I don't like it either. So on the NuGet.org part of the team, like I said before, we're going to spend a lot of time on resilience, response speed, improving the protocol, improving search. These are our, you know, bread and butter kind of thing. We have to do them. That's where most of our resources go in today. At the same time, we heard very strong voice from people saying our push story is not good enough. So we want to move push to, we kind of put a pretty, I think, reasonable goal. We want push to take 5 seconds from the time you push the package until you can restore it, right? It's not going to happen overnight, but right now we're looking at 5 to 10 minutes. We think it's ridiculous. We think it's too long. We want to be at a 5-second range. We still have to do a lot of stuff with your package, unzip it, check it, validate it, you know, distributed to multiple places over CDN. So we think 5 seconds is reasonable, and we want to address it within, you know, the following 12 months. We want that to be live. At the same time, we want a better story for publishing. So here's what we think. So this is your NuGet.org today, and here are your new packages. Today you have to go to MyGet or to your private server, push them, take that new URL, put the two together in Visual Studio and play with it. You spend a lot of time on this. When you call it done, you have to download the packages again, take them and push them to NuGet.org. You have to do it in order. You have to be very careful to unlist them. There's just too much stuff going on, and too many things can go wrong. Once you push the package, by the way, we don't let you delete it, because we're very, very strongly believing in the fact that you can't swap packages in and out. There's no bait and switch once your package is on NuGet.org. So we are not planning to give you a delete button on NuGet.org, which means you have to be kind of careful before you publish your packages. So what is our thought? So you take your new packages, and you create a stage. You push your packages into the stage, and now we give you a common URL. You can take that URL, share one URL. We merged search, we merged all the protocols. Everything looks the same from the outside. At this point, do whatever you want. Invite somebody else to push packages into your stage if you're two teams working together. Delete your packages, change your packages, do whatever you want.
It's your sandbox.
Yep. When you're done validating, you commit. And the commit we want to do make as fast as possible. And we're going to do all the work to validate that. We go from the leaf nodes to the root, and we publish the packages. We make them available incrementally in a way that doesn't break your customers. So if you have package A, depending on package B, we will first push package B, then merge package A, which means the view from the outside world is always consistent, and we don't break you. What do people think about this? Do you think that's going to help you? We actually think this should be the default experience. So when we deploy this, you don't deploy to NuGet.org directly anymore. You deploy to the stage. And when you're done with deploying, even though you still use the same NuGet command called NuGet push, and what you get back is, here's your default stage. And you still have to do another operation called commit. So you don't accidentally push into NuGet.org anymore. We get that so many times. NuGet XC push with no URL. Just boom, you're live on NuGet.org. We think that's wrong. So you'll get a stage back. You can test it. When you're happy, you call commit, and you're done.
Steve's got a question.
What if you've got like a CI process doing this?
To do what?
To do this step. If you pass it all the tests, and then you push it to NuGet.
OK.
Is that going to be impacted by the fact that you've added extra process?
So one thing is we kind of don't like the idea of pushing packages directly from CI to NuGet.org. NuGet.org is not your CI repository. Right? It means now you put thousands and thousands of packages online, and nobody understands which one you should use. So there's a few people that we talked to in the past and basically said, take your CI builds, move them to MyGet, or move them to a private feed. VSO is providing you that within a couple weeks. We plan to implement something like that as well. CI builds kind of litter NuGet and make it less appealing to users.
There are packages out there that have over 2,000 versions. They're updating several times a day and pushing new versions. And those multiple versions they're pushing have one, two downloads. And that's not valuable for our community.
Right. So, but to your question, let's say you have complete confidence in your CI, and your CI has this mode where it publishes an RTM build. Yes, you need to change it when we do that, and you say NuGet push, run functional tests maybe, because now you can, NuGet commit. Right?
Right, because so, now you can run your tests against NuGet.org.
Everything I show here will be supported directly from both NuGet XE. We also want to make a protocol that's super simple where you can just use curl. And you don't have to use OData and any of this freaking complicated stuff. You can just curl it in, simple URL, simple payload, and you're done. I think that's an unrelated question, and I think it's a very loaded question that we don't have time to finish talking about.
It's easier now, right?
We have people that check it in. We have people that don't check it in. I don't think that's anything that I can answer in another minute. We actually want to show you a demo of this thing.
Who wants to see this? All right. Let's jump right into.
So remember how we showed you the UI before? This time around, we're not looking for UI feedback. We're not done with the UI. We want to show you this is a concept prototype. We're trying to push this again to happen this year. But so we made it kind of a simple workflow.
Right, so the workflow is I'm Tom, that's my owner name, and I'm going to create a stage called test. So I would click some sort of a button in the user interface. It says I've successfully created that staging area. And now I have the ability to upload some packages. So I've got a very simple NuGet push command with my new endpoint that is NuGet push slash push package. And then my name, right? My ID is buried in there along with the name of my stage area, along with an appropriate API key. So let me push some packages into my stage. So I'll push this first package called rules. Here we go.
Create a new stage. You have a new owner.
What's this?
Just create a new stage.
I'll call this stage 2.
I don't think this refreshed.
Got an extra.
No, I think you need to refresh the page.
Refresh the page?
Yep.
Let's try this again. This happened, it was first thing yesterday also.
Yeah, just try create a new name. Start refresh. Start.
Yep.
Type a new name here. Test.
Let's do that, and we'll try this. No.
Yep.
The demo gods are not happy with us.
Okay, but anyways, the idea is once you push these packages up, you can take the URL from here.
Right, you can take this access point, right? That's a feed that you're going to be able to work with.
You paste that feed into Visual Studio. That's your single feed that you're going to use. And based on that, run all your tests, run your functional tests, put a local NuGet config in your CI, run all your tests. When you're happy with these packages, you go back and you commit. And basically, then everything is NuGet.org.
Right. One
important thing to remember here, the plan is that you can push, let's take an example. So you don't own Entity Framework, which means you cannot go on the stage and push Entity Framework. You can only push packages that you own or new packages. You can invite other people to push into your staging area by sharing the stage or adding them. The identity system is a single identity system based on NuGet.org. And you can go and invite somebody else to come in and say, we want to push this wave of packages together. We're a group of people, but some of us own this set of packages and some of us own that set of packages. It's very common between ASP.NET and .NET. We push this one wave of packages together. So we will, let's say ASP.NET initiates this thing. We push our packages. We call our friends from .NET, and we say, hey, come on onto the stage. Push your packages in. We have one URL. We give it to everybody that's testing it. We can give it out to the community. And when we're done, we commit. One thing, this is not a private feed. This is not something we expect you to use for your CIs. We're going to put some measures in place to make sure that this doesn't become a MyGet replacement. This is not it. This is a testing feed. It's going to be a kind of a free thing. We don't plan to make it a scale of MyGet with tons of servers where you can run your private feeds yet.
It's temporary.
So we think that every 2 weeks, we're just going to go and whack it down. And you have 2 weeks from the time you publish the packages to commit it. Something around these lines.
All right.
Questions?
Go back to this list.
Like, do you think we should do it?
Who likes this idea? Cool. All right. Good majority. And Fowler says it's awesome. So the Fowler seal of approval. Where do you want to jump down to? You want to go right to Q&A?
Any more questions? Anything else you want to
talk
about?
We've had a lot of feedback, along the way here. Yeah.
Are you considering something like direct references to
So we've got to make sure we repeat it. So the question is, are we considering direct references to GitHub? I'm guessing you're comparing that to like Bower, how they have direct source references to GitHub?
Yeah, and packet information.
Yes, the answer is no. The reason is, we understand why other people do it. We don't quite understand why Packet does it, but it does. The big kind of thing on Nougat.org is a package is always going to be the same package, no matter what. If you installed it today or next year, it's the same package. We have huge concerns from customers in corporate saying, guys, what happened? Like last 2 weeks ago, Oracle came in and forced us to delete a package. And that created a huge wave of pain for customers downstream. It's not that we don't trust package owners, but when your stuff is a link, it means the link can easily change. It means somebody can break you. And on Nougat.org, we don't want to support any of that stuff. So the answer for now, at least, is no. Unless we can come up with something better to validate that it's exactly the same content and so on, the answer is no. We invested a lot in building a CDN and a robust distribution network. And we're going to invest even further in making downloads more efficient, faster, parallel. These kind of ideas are coming along.
We've got to wrap up. We are way over. So tell you what, we'll be in the hall out back if you have any more questions you want to ask us. Thank you very much for your time and showing up and coming out and learning a little bit more about NuGet. So we really want to hear your feedback. And we look forward to hearing from you on GitHub or email or whatever your feedback method might be.
Everybody know where to file issues for NuGet. Can you quickly go back to that thing? I think that would be the most.
To the GitHub site? To the GitHub site?
To the link, feedback page on the presentation.
The feedback slide.
Let me draw.
I have, hang on.
Okay.
This one.
Yes. So for feedback, we listen to every single one of these channels, including Twitter, including blog comments, your blogs. But the most reasonable place for us to listen to your feedback is on GitHub. We spend about 2 hours a day triaging, going through the bugs. When it's there, it never gets lost. When you Twitter, it's on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of comments a day on NuGet. It's there. We have to take the extra effort to move it around. It's very hard to have a sane discussion with 140 characters. Things get out of sync really fast. People get upset really fast. GitHub, right. It's public, go there.
Can I just